Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
A letter to the king. Content warning for death in an elevator.
Darling, please, I really have to write this. You're nibbling. Here, take my glass. I'll have another when I'm done. You're wicked. Just a minute.
A letter for His Majesty the King, penned by his humble servant, Jordan de Valois.
Most excellent, most mighty, most dread Majesty, it is with the utmost regret that I find myself addressing your esteemed personage on a most serious matter. No doubt you've heard of the recent tragedy that has befallen Castle Craigbow. As your majesty has appointed me administrator of this noble estate, it falls upon my shoulders to inform you of what has occurred before unsavory rumors should find your ears. My appointment to this ancient rock makes me overseer for the various arts performed in the castle. It is I who ensures the blacksmith's stove never goes out, nor that the potter should ever want for clay. You have most wisely made me chieftain of these arts, so that the honorable earl whom I serve may be free to pursue his royal interests. I couldn't think of a fairer division of labor. I sweat in the quarry, measuring the veins of stone, and his lordship visits the vineyard, where his royal tongue measures the quality of grapes. I visit the port to watch the loading of our precious cargo, on which the entire county relies. Our earl's interest in port lay entirely within the bottle. This is, of course, right and proper, and I don't have anything bad to say about this at all. At least nothing I would write down. Thus, when the earl was struck by his most unusual idea, it fell upon my shoulders to assist him. You see, and I am trembling with humility as I write this, for it pains me to share a conversation I had with my lord in private. His lordship had a habit of meeting persons late at night, persons who are not his lady wife, your sister. I would never presume about the purpose of these meetings, but your noble sister was justly upset about the secrecy in which the earl would traipse about. She approached me many times, seeking counsel, asking me to persuade the earl to cease these moonlit hobbies. But I'm afraid I wasn't able to sway him. Neither I, nor the priests, nor his noble friends could do anything to keep him from stomping down to the private rooms and private persons where he would... Well, I would never speak out of turn. But for a castle made of stone, the walls are very thin. Enough was enough. Your noble sister swore, in front of the entire court, that if she so much as heard the footsteps of someone moving about the castle at night one more time, she would demand your intervention. She said, what was it? I will go full vandal on this petty Rome. Wit and beauty. Their bedchambers are at the top of Craigbow's tallest tower. His above, hers just below. And she promised that if a single step echoed down the stairs, she would have your army here within a day. Thus, it came to me, the Earl demanded, to invent a way for him to cross between floors without a footstep being heard. And if I failed, he would hang me for disobedience. Your Majesty, please imagine the position this put me in. I would never dream of disobeying my noble liege, nor would I ever wish to betray your lady sister's trust. But after many nights of worry and contemplation, and the Earl hitting me with his staff, I built it. Forgive me, but the challenge was too divine. I was inspired by watching the masons crane timbers up the south wall, which was damaged by the Saxon filth last spring. By the clever use of a rope mounted against a greased wheel, they're able to pull objects of a great weight up several stories in the air as if they were light as a feather. One of the masons working atop the wall needed a refreshment, so his fellow down below placed a mug of wine on a beam and hoisted it up. When I saw that slushing drink, I thought of the Earl, the Honorable Earl's request, at once. I explained my idea to his lordship. I showed him the folk at work, which was difficult, for he hates looking at the poor. He had some input on the subject. He wouldn't sit in a harness like some piece of timber, so the device had to accommodate someone standing, noble and tall. The Earl wished for privacy in his travels, so a closed box was chosen as the vehicle for lifting. We argued at length about the presence of music in the box. He thought there should be a way for a bard to play light, pleasant, and forgettable music as he moved between floors. I don't know where he got the idea. This may be the source of where our troubles began. Spare no expense to play me that music, dammit, my noble liege said. Use the cheapest rope and timber you can find. I think he wanted the music to cover his tracks, so to speak, so that the lady couldn't hear his footsteps approaching the device. I explained to the Earl most fervently, most ardently, that no expense should be cut while preparing the project. Especially if only his lordship would be using it. But his majesty insisted that I wasn't trying hard enough, that if I put my mind to it, we could complete the project in half the time and budget I had outlined. I counseled your lady sister about the dangers too, but the Earl had long since abandoned listening to her. We stayed up quite late, discussing the danger and other matters. She is a most fascinating person. There was nothing that could assuage him from this goal. He wouldn't even let us test it, because it was his right to be the first one to ride it. He just shouted, "First! First!" over and over again. My Majesty, perhaps you can see where this is going. Construction was complete. The men on the craning wheel hoisted the box up in the air, nearly 70 feet, to the Earl's bedroom window. Into the box he went, creaking as he stepped in, the men's muscles straining to ease the thin rope they were given. Slowly, slowly they tried to guide the rope down to the bottom floor, where the Earl's favorite companion was waiting. And they hadn't eaten all day. The poor masons. Please don't blame them. The Earl believed one worked harder on an empty stomach. They tugged and tugged, but the creak of the wood signaled to all of us that something was wrong. And then, snap, a devil must have danced upon the rope, for it split in two, and the Earl came plummeting down to earth. The box didn't break, but sadly, the Earl did. The bard grabbed onto the top rope just in time, at least. I pray this account has cleared up any confusion as to what occurred this day. There are most fallible rumors that somehow your lady's sister tampered with the rope before the Earl stepped. The idea is laughable. Her ladyship was standing right next to me as we watched the Earl depart. Just as she stands with me now, verifying most ardently to the truth of what I write. You can understand our predicament, of course. This castle is now in need of a lord. And the lady here is so... Well, she sees the potential of this device. She begs you to let me stay on, so that I might perfect its design. We've become rather close in her time of grief, and if she would stop nibbling my ear, she would ask that I receive your blessing to potentially court her. I know it's an improper time to ask, but as I am but a humble scholar, only you are able to elevate my status so that I might make things official. Please do consider elevating me, Your Majesty. I just know we're on the verge of greatness. Signed, your humble servant, Jordan de Valois. Elevate. Pour me another glass, my lady. I have an idea. This episode was written by C.C. McLaughlin. It was recorded by Devin Bohr and produced by Tal Minear. Visit ccmclaughlin.com for links to CC's social media and portfolio. Follow them on whatever website still exists by the time you hear this. You can find me at my email, devinrbohr@gmail.com. And if you'd like to hear more of what I do, you can find me in the sci-fi drama Records from the Reaver as the voice of Officer Zai, and in the paranormal thriller Lifeblood as the voice of Dax Kennedy.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.